Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, hear the words of the Holy Epistle for today from St. Paul. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, for our slavery, for your gift of your Son that binds us to you so that you might give us all good things. Bless us now, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you free? That's a good question, and it takes a little pondering right now as we look at everything that's going on in the world around us. All of the riots, all of the ways that people express their unhappiness at someone ruling over them. Well, if we answered the question as Americans, we could say that we have more freedoms than most people in the world. In fact, we would say that America is one of the freest places in the world. And as South Dakotans, we have a great freedom as well. We probably have more freedom in the COVID-19 era now than most places do in America. But that's really not the question that we're considering. The question is, are you free? Are you free to do whatever you want without consequences or condemnation? Are you free? Can you refuse to pay your taxes? Can you refuse to obey the laws of the road? Can you refuse to submit to any kind of authority? Absolutely you can. But there will be consequences for your actions. Can you cheat, lie, steal? Can you go into a crowded movie theater and shout, "Fire!" Well, you can. But there will be consequences for your actions. Can you live apart from Christ and His promises and be your own God, doing what you want, enjoying the things that you want, without giving another thought to God our Father? You can, but there will be consequences, eternal consequences for you. The harsh reality is that we are not free, that we are slaves. Now, we say that often, and we recognize that. We're slaves to our jobs. We're slaves to our government. We're slaves to our phones. We're slaves to time. We're slaves to money. And we're even slaves to our freedoms. And St. Paul tells us in the epistle reading for today that we are slaves, either of our sinful desires and the evil one, or we're slaves of Christ and His promises to us. We are not just slaves in this life, and when this life is over, everything is done. Our slavery continues even into death. We are either slaves of eternal damnation, separated from Christ and all that is good, or we are slaves to Christ and His eternal promises and the hope that He gives us. Nevertheless, we are not free. We are slaves. Now, there's a lot of talk about freedom right now, or lack of freedom. Black Lives Matter, racism, the man and all of his rules, the restrictions, defund the police, all of these things. People struggling and wanting to be free from oppression, free from someone overwatching them. And in times like this, our slavery boils over into the public view. And we get a firsthand glimpse of how we hate being slaves. Maybe we should think about slavery differently. Imagine, if you will, the most beautiful house you've ever seen. This thing is huge, and there's one room, and that one room is specially set aside just for the owner's bird. And there's a cage in that room, and it is the most beautiful cage you can imagine. It has everything the bird could ever need. It has water and food and perfect temperature and plenty of places for the bird to fly. Is the bird free? Well, the bird has a cage around it with bars and a locked door. And as we understand slavery, we would say the bird is not free to do whatever it wants. That's how we understand slavery in our modern-day context. But let's add a little bit to the story. Let's say that the homeowner loves cats. And there's 100 cats in the house that have free reign over every place in the house. And these cats would love nothing more than to have that Tweety Bird sandwich. And they spend their day prowling around the cage, waiting to devour, trying to find a way in. Now suddenly the cage takes on a different meaning, because now the bars and the locked door offer true freedom for that bird. For the things that would kill that bird, for the things that would reach inside and end that bird's life, there is protection. Is the bird free? Yes. Free from death, from all of those animals that would take its life. You see, we don't quite understand slavery correctly when we think about the slavery that St. Paul talks about in the epistle reading. We think about slavery as oppressive, slavery that restricts, slavery that takes away our ability to do what we want. But what actually St. Paul is talking about is the slavery that is in our lives because of Christ. He being the master, we being the slaves, is protection from those things that would kill us. We're all slaves. There is no doubt. We are either slaves to sin and death and the devil, or we are slaves to Jesus Christ. You're in one camp or the other. There are no other exceptions. The slavery the devil offers us, though, it looks so good. When you look at all of the things the world and the devil offers us, it appears to have no bars, no shackles, no rules. If you want something, go and get it. If you like something, do it. If it feels good, do it more. All of these things offered to you, and that's how we understand freedom. I can do whatever I want with whatever I want. The slavery that Satan offers us appears to be the greatest freedom. But in reality, the slavery that we want to call freedom is really called hedonism. And hedonism is the pursuit of pleasure above all things. And that's really where we have fallen in our American culture. If you like it, do it. It doesn't matter what other people say, as long as it makes you happy or feel good. And that's where we are as a culture. St. Paul tells us what hedonism looks like. He gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and he lays apart all of the political correctness, and he says this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. You get an idea of what hedonism looks like? St. Paul knew it really well, and he laid it out for us as well. The prison of that hedonistic slavery, that comes much later. A life lived with me as my own God and a slave to Satan will end up in eternal damnation and separation from God forever. It's only through faith that we see our slavery in Christ as true everlasting freedom. In Christ, we see clearly the bars of our slavery. God says in his commandments to us, "You shall not." We see that for what it is. Not restrictive, not something saying you cannot, but bars that protect us from the evil one that would seek to end our life. The purpose of all of God's law is to protect us from the threats that could kill both body and soul. But it's through the eyes of faith that we see this slavery and our master differently than most. It's through faith that we see what others can't see. There were two men in a hospital room. They were in a room together. One man had a window and the other man didn't, and he couldn't get up. So the man over there by the window, every day, he would strike up a conversation with his roommate, and he would tell him what he saw out his window. He was describing the city park that was out there. And in the city park, he would watch, and there would be those star-crossed lovers holding hands, walking through the park, just enjoying each other's company. And there would be the couple that would be trying to walk their dogs, but in reality, the dogs were walking them because they were that big. And there would be the kids running through the park and playing. And there would be someone coming through the park cleaning up and doing all the things. And every day, this man would describe all of the things that were going on in the park. Now, after a week or so, this man was released, and the man in the second bed, he asked the nurse if he might be transferred over into the other bed so he also could look out the window because he loved to see what was going on. They granted his wish, moved him to the window, and he was so shaken when he sat up. He looked out the window. He was expecting to see the park. And the only thing that was there was the brick wall of another building right next to it. You see, it's through the eyes of faith that we can see things that the world cannot see. Where the world looks at God, and he looks at God as oppressive, as someone who says, "You shall not," who takes away our freedoms and our joy, it is through the eyes of faith that we see a Savior that stops our enemy. And not only stops our enemy, but gives us all that is good and right and holy. It's through the eyes of faith that we see our master and our slavery is a great, life-giving thing. The gospel freedom that we have in Christ is only something that we can see through faith. When the world looks at God, all it sees is restrictions, slavery. They see a God that's oppressive, a God that is purposely keeping us from the good things that we want to enjoy. But through baptism, through the faith that God has given us there, we see our slavery to Christ as protection from the devil and all of his demons and everything that would separate us from God's love and grace eternally. We see the cross of Jesus through faith is the one-time perfect get-out-of-hell card given for you. We see these gifts that God has given to us. We are completely justified right now by what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. We are holy in God's eyes by what Jesus did and gave to you. And we can only see that through faith. Jesus gave his life on the cross for us even when we were still his enemies. Does that sound like an oppressive master? Or a master that loves you so much that he would give everything, even his own son, so that you would be his and live in the gifts and the love and the mercy that he wants to bestow upon us? When we see the glorious resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we see our greatest conqueror. We see Jesus rising from the dead and giving you the promise as well that one day you will rise as certainly as he rose. Does that sound like a Savior who doesn't care for his people? Or does that sound like a God who loves you so much that wants to restore you and be back with him in that perfect community between God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his dearly loved children? The slavery to God that we're talking about has another name. It's called the sanctified life, the holy life, the life of living in this joy of faith that God has given to us, a life that's set apart for a holy purpose. That's the life we live. A sanctified, satisfied slave, living in the mercy of our Savior, receiving his good gifts. Our sanctified slavery, though, it's completely backwards according to how we understand slavery. A slave, as we understand it, is bound, forced to work, beaten, hardly has any value at all. But a slave to Christ has complete freedom. You and I have the freedom to walk away from this Christian life if you'd like. But we don't, because we know that our Savior, our Master, loves us so much and desires to give us every good and perfect gift. We have the freedom to continue to do the things that we would like in this world, and our Savior uses His Holy Spirit to guide us so that His light and His love shines through us, and the world sees us, and they see that love that we have for a Father. A slave in Christ is not forced to work or to worship, but we have the freedom that Christ gives to us. And out of that great freedom, we come and we worship joyfully and gladly because we know what we receive here. Not law telling you to go out and do this and do that to earn your salvation, but complete gospel where our Lord comes to you and says, "Dear child, let me forgive your sins. Let me take away your burden. Let me lift you up and let you live in peace. Let me feed you with Jesus' very body and blood to strengthen you for this day so that you might live in joy in your slavery," which does not really fit in our ears. A slave to Christ is not beaten, but healed and cared for. Instead of punishing us for our sin, God punishes His own dear Son so that we would be free, showing us how much we're loved. It's through the eyes of faith that we see the bars of God's love as holy and good. We see the law as something that protects us from ourselves and everything else that could kill body and soul. Isaiah talks about this freedom. Or we could say Isaiah talks about our slavery. And he says this: "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money or without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." Do you hear how Isaiah describes our slavery? As good and joyful and someplace that we want to be. Are you free? We're free in Christ, but also slaves. Slaves to a loving master. Slaves to a God who loves you so much that He desires all good for you, even to the point of sacrificing His own dear Son. We are free, free indeed, as sanctified, satisfied slaves of Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.